Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and those TRL ratings. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, and Ultra Instinct Goku? Yeah.
And...
I'm working. I'm gonna be off. I'm off the sauce. You fucking bastards. You stupid motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Look. Like, yeah, we all heard about all the McDonald's Szechuan sauce still, and as somebody who has worked at fast food before, fine, you get mad at McDonald's for doing that shit, but you can get mad at the employees who just doing their fucking job. Just fuck you, man. You some bitch-ass motherfucker that you get ass slapped.
Yeah. If you haven't heard, so there was that Szechuan sauce promo thing at McDonald's, which, as a quick reminder, Adult Swim had nothing to do with, so it was all McDonald's.
So don't blame them.
Because, you know, if it was Adult Swim, they would have made sure there was enough of it. So yeah. Every store, and it was only, like, a limited number of stores in each region, only got, like, about 20 packets of the sauce, and, of course, there were guys very angry, rioting, and even people on Twitter threatening class action lawsuits. Now, I'm not normally one to do the both sides thing in any kind of an argument, since I usually think that's kind of an intellectual cop-out, but this really is one of those plays where everyone could go fuck themselves. Like, fuck you for screaming at the people at the fucking cash register who aren't getting paid enough to deal with your whiny temper tantrum over sauce. But also, fuck McDonald's corporate for knowingly understocking on sauce and forcing the cashier employees to take the brunt of the bullshit, making sure that the dicks in the suits never have to deal with it themselves.
That's proof that they deserve at least $10 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. They need more. Yeah, like, you think this shit is easy? Yep, this shit is fucking easy. Y'all motherfuckers always say, oh man, fast food jobs are so easy, y'all some amazing motherfuckers. Man, first of all, fuck you niggas, first of all. Second of all, let's see you do this shit and try to compose yourself, try to hang on to people. Because I was one of them, I'd have brushed your fucking face for that shit.
It's like, you know what, fuck $15 an hour, the level of people skills necessary to work fast food should necessitate like at least 20.
Exactly, yeah.
Why didn't we listen to Bernie Sanders?
The bottom line here is, people suck.
Basically.
October 7th, 2017, the day the Rick and Morty fandom exploded and divided into normal people and insane people who got into the show via memes.
It's like, okay, sure, I was kind of hyped on the sauce too, but when I drove there, I parked, some guy in his car was like, sauce? I was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, they only had like 17 and they were sold out. You know what I did? Cut my losses and went home. Worst case scenario, I snarked about it to the guys in the Surreal Resolution chat. But that's it, man.
Mm-hmm. The good news is they're going to bring it back in December to more people with more stocks, which is what you should have done in the first place, but we're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, this should have been like some McRib shit, but like... Well, what's done is done, whatever. So, anything else been going on with all y'all the past week?
Not really, no. It's been kind of slow.
Yeah, Oh, you were saying something, Mark?
Yeah, last week my laptop died.
Oh.
Yeah, like the day after we recorded our episode, my laptop just up and died. On my birthday, no less.
The day of Mac 2.7, and then we just get bumped down to Mac 2.6 on the first day.
And I watched a YouTube video, and then it just clunk and died. Like,
oh, please tell me it was the one where they microwaved the airbag.
No, I wish. Like, at least over there. I wish, but damn, but then again, I was like 4 years old at this point. I need to get a new one at least. He's going to have Windows 10 on it.
Yeah.
I'm broke. What do you expect? I need some new shit.
Fight for 15! Our nigga Mark needs the computer things to do things. He needs money to buy it to do the things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thankfully, your family is going to be down from doing my other shit.
Yeah, that too. He's got things he needs to be doing, man. They require internet and computer interfaces.
Yes, he needs that good internet and computer stuff to watch all the animes and not the terrible ones that involve incest.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, so far, the only anime I've seen this season is Ancient Magus Bride. I like it. In case you're wondering, it's because I haven't seen the first season of Mr. Osamatsu. Or Blood Blockade Battlefront.
Good luck finding that first Osamatsu episode. It's lost forever because Japan doesn't understand parody.
Well, in that case, it's time for the last resort. Piracy! But that we'll get there when we get there. Anyway, as for me, I finally began my training sessions for, you know, being a DJ and whatnot. I had my first, like, rotation training today, and it was... I sort of managed to get into the groove a little bit quick. The only thing I kind of have to work on is sort of the timing of switching songs from one to another. It's kind of a... There's a bit of an interface to learn. And interestingly, some of the stuff they have on rotation over in the station is stuff I've actually reviewed and talked about on the site. Like, just a couple things that... like, instinctively came to mind when I was, like, throwing songs in the CD player. I saw both of the Shabazz Palaces albums and even Calm Trues.
Oh.
There was also... I caught wind of that Paramore album mixed in somewhere in there. Oh, and apparently that Cut Copy album I think we mentioned once on an episode is, like, a new album release. I just kind of threw a song on from there because I was like, why not? It might be worth checking out. And I kind of have that album on a, let's say, on the back burner for now. Maybe I'll get to it soon, but we don't have time for that right now, because now it's time to get into the new song discussion for the past week, which, not as packed as, you know, previous weeks, which is probably good, but there's still some stuff in here. So, as always, yeah. There will be a playlist down in the description so you can listen along and, you know, comment on our opinions of these songs. And now, starting from the top... have you all heard of this, King Cruel fellow? You know, I assume that's a Donkey Kong reference, I think.
I think I know his name before Ainsley Earl Special or something, because...
Oh, yeah.
That's where I heard the name first. Like, I thought of her, like, is that thing Earl Special once?
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure they did a song before. It was, like, some unreleased thing from, like, a Beats One Radio thing or something.
Yeah.
But yes, this King Cruel is releasing a new album, actually this Friday, called The Ooze, with no E at the end, it's just O-O-Z, and has released a new song, I believe this is the third one, called Half Man, Half Shark. Now, this is my first time listening to King Cruel, like one of his original material things, so I don't really know how it stacks up in the grand scheme of things, but first off, there's no way this dude actually sounds like this. Like, he's got that really kind of gruff, deep, almost kind of Iggy Pop-ish voice. Like, Iggy Pop, how he sounds now. But, like, this dude's pretty young looking, so it just kind of threw me for a loop. It's kind of like, where were you when you heard Rich Chiga for the first time and thought, there's no way that dude sounds like that. But as for the actual music, it's, you know, it's this kind of fun garage rocky kind of thing. There's this mid-tempo shuffling drum beat with the snares and, you know, kind of grooving tom rhythms. The bass, you know, and guitars groove along with it. It's kind of got this cool, you know, vibe to it. Like, you could almost dance to it in a weird way, which is, you know, kind of weird for a garage rock song. But still, it's kind of something you could groove with. And the vocal delivery is actually kind of attention-getting at times, even if at times it's so gruff I can barely make out what the lyrics are. Then again, I'm bad with lyrical interpretation on stuff like this, so you'll have to take that with a grain of salt, but I liked it.
Yeah, same here. Like, this is something I definitely dance a little bit to. Like, it's like some very garage rock, rockabilly type of shit that I hear from him. It's like, yeah, I can rock with this. Pretty good.
Yep. And unless anyone has anything else to say, we shall move on. And we shall move on very clearly from the silence.
Yep, and now for well, you know, our adult portion of the show. Shit, what am I doing?
Yep.
Yeah, our newest adult single comes from, man, I can't, I'm gonna fuck this name up.
Okay. This is why I'm very thankful for those promo bumps, so we know how to pronounce this name. This one is pronounced Sevdaliza, coming in with track number 23. Wow, 23 already. That's like almost half of the listed artists, but they've been throwing surprises here and there, so we'll see. As for now, we have Sevdaliza with a new song called Mad Woman, which, from what I was gathering when listening to the song, apparently this is supposed to be like a song that serves as a soundtrack to some kind of a short film. I believe it's actually up on YouTube as we're at the time we're recording this, but I haven't gotten to watch it yet. And yeah, this definitely sounds like it almost in the same function as like that Mikachu song from the last singles program, where this sounds very much like a mood piece to soundtrack a scene to a film. I mean, it definitely sounds very fleshed out. Like, there's the darkly dramatic piano arrangement that, like, echoes out in the mix with that really moody, somber vocal performance that definitely know how to set a tone for this kind of thing. There's these little bass synths, and the kind of percussion thing that's here, like, that drum beat is, like, super sparse and spread out. Like, I'm pretty sure the tempo for that would probably be in, like, double digits. Then again, I have to actually, like, tap it out, because it kind of seems like it's spaced out in a weird way, relative to the main pulse of the song. But, again, as, like, a soundtrack piece, I can say this probably works pretty well.
Oh, yeah, like, now you mentioned Mikachu, it does remind me a bit of what she bought last year with Kevin, which, no, we don't know who he is again.
The world may never know.
This is something you hear from a movie or soundtrack. Like, I definitely was digging through this a lot. And while, like, I feel like once or twice, because I was kind of lazy, because you know, dealing with boom. This is some pretty moody shit that I can get into.
All right, and so now I assume we shall move on Mr. IDK dropping the latest three tracks from his I Was Very Bad project, which I believe is actually getting a full proper release next Friday, or is it this Friday? I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know, like, I think it's next, I think it might be next Friday, since I think the last couple of songs could release.
Right, there. Right, that makes sense. And these three songs here, which for the record are titled Dog Love Kitty featuring Mother Mary Gold, and the songs Windows Up and Birds and Bees, there's kind of a motif here. These are, actually, do you call these Thugs Need Love 2 songs? Do they count? I'm guessing not, because it's all about the fucking.
Yeah, it's basically, it's all about that fucking.
Although it's kind of weird, because a couple of these songs, especially, you know, Windows Up and Birds and Bees, the production on there is very more sort of romantic, almost kind of R&B-ish style. Like, Birds and Bees especially kind of gave me a weird No Worries vibe off of it, especially with, like, some of the singing on there. Like, there were parts in there where the flow and the lyrics kind of sounded like a slightly harder version of, like, Jamie Foxx before he decided to go full actor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can do get that. You can tell, like, from these songs. I mean, Birds and Bees. What do you think, Birds and Bees? What do you remember about Birds and Bees? And Windows Up. Yeah, Windows Up. What do you do when the window's up and you're a couple alone in your car? Come on, think about it.
I'm doing the finger in the circle thing. You can't see it right now, but you know what it is.
I'm like I was scrolling some of these tracks that you've been releasing over here. You releasing with those Swim. Oh, in case somebody wants to point this out, yes, you know there's another track, but it's an interlude, so that don't count.
Yes, that is very much true. But that basically covers the Adult Swim portion for this week, and now it's time for me to get in my little bit of a tangent thing here with this next song, and time for Alex Mr. to join in as well.
Mr. Metal Snob is coming back, y'all.
The Lone Metal Song of the Week. Now, what we are discussing is the comeback of Morbid Angel, Tampa, Florida death metal band, icons of the genre who have recorded some of the most seminal, and I'll admit, some of my personal favorite albums in the genre and possibly of all time, including their, you know, debut Altars of Madness, the seminal classic Covenant, and my personal favorite of classic Morbid Angel albums, Domination, their fourth one. Now, I need you to take you back to 2011. Their last studio album, Elude Divinium Insanus, which, when I finally got around to the discography of Morbid Angel, I always heard things about, this album is terrible, it's fucking shitty, which is weird, because you never hear that kind of consensus in the metal community, rarely on a few things. Like, for example, Saint Anger, which is still considered one of the most legendary betrayals of all time in metal. And, yeah, Elude Divinium Insanus, the Saint Anger of death metal. Why the hell did you think throwing in Power Man 5000 style industrial elements was a good fucking idea? And to this day, I'm still very bitter because that, you know, I'm not normally one to go with hype unless like it's really deserved, but this is one of those albums, Elude, that really was just that awful. Like, just a misfire on all counts. And so, here we are 6 years later, and the band is finally deciding to do some damage control. That, at least that's what I like to think of it as, with their newest studio album, Kingdoms Disdained, due out December 1st. And we have the first single from the album, Piles of Little Arms. And, you know, at first it might not seem all that bad. There's definitely no industrial elements, which is a plus. The songwriting, the production, it all sounds very lo-fi, kind of akin to what you would expect from Morbid Angel trying to regain some good faith. Maybe there's a nitpick to be had with the specific way in which the drums are triggered, but it's kind of been a thing since, like, you know, pretty much the early days, so maybe you can overlook that. You know, it's very hard-hitting, there's lots of grating muddy guitar tones and everything. It sounds right at first, but the more you sort of delve into this song, the more it just kinda sort of falls apart in weird ways. Like, first off, let's talk about the actual momentum of the thing. There are quite a few periods where the progression just stops and starts. Like, it feels like the song was kind of stitched together from, like, three separate takes of the same recording, and they forgot to actually make it align properly. It's just really weird. And then there's, of course, the fact that the specific way in which the kicks are triggered, combined with the very muddy guitar tones, it sounds like a Morbid Angel cover band. Like, yes, I get that some of their older albums were produced in a very lo-fi style, but even then, the various elements, like the guitars and the riffs, still pack some punch. Like, if you want an example of how this kind of production works at its best, just look up the song Suffocation from their first album. That is some primo classic death metal right there. And the production as a whole just sounds so, like, it sounds like this awkward mashup of, like, Gateways to Annihilation, and then their sophomore album, Blessed Are the Sick. Like, it sort of takes those two albums and just kind of, like, mashes their production styles together in this kind of awkward pastiche, which just doesn't work. And it's like, I want to like this song more than I do, but there's just so many things that sound wrong here. Like, it's almost kind of like a musical uncanny valley where it sounds just enough like classic Morbid Angel that you can pick out the stuff that just sticks out like a sore thumb. It's just, I don't know, maybe that's why they're saving it for a December 1st release, because maybe then it'll do like the least amount of damage or whatever.
Okay, tangent over. Yeah, I'll say this song is pretty good, and yeah, it's pretty good. Now, my knowledge of Morbid Angel is rudimentary at best, so I'm not, you know, the most informative person on the subject, but I like the groove it has, especially the sort of galloping 12-8 triplet groove the song has in the start and the middle. It's pretty good.
I don't know. Like, you know, you say that, and that's a fair point. Like, maybe because you're not saddled with the baggage of just everything, you can click with it better. But I just got, like, I tried. Like, I listened to the song at least, like, 4 or 5 times trying to get into it, and I just could not. But whatever, that's my tangent for the week. And now, let's move on to Weezer, who
are dropping this.
Because we need to bring in the traffic. And, look, just hear me out for a minute. Okay, so they've dropped the 4th single. I think this is the 4th, yeah. From their upcoming album, Pacific Daydream, which is due out last Friday of the month, October 27th. This one called Weekend Woman, and... Okay, so the track record so far, we've had Feels Like Summer, an awkward 21 Pilots knockoff. We had Mexican Fender, which kind of had like a really, I'll admit it had a pretty catchy riff and was certainly a step up from trying to impersonate one of the most overrated bands currently active, but I repeat myself. Then there was the Beach Boys tribute song, which just kind of fell with a thud. And so where does that leave this one, which, again, almost kind of sounds like a slightly more gospel-ish version of, like, a Beach Boys track. And I use gospel specifically because the lyrics themselves kind of have, like, these religious allusions. It's yet another song about, like, love lost or something like that. Like, you know, just the usual awkward, I want to be in love with this woman. I'm in love with this woman, but, like, she and I probably don't click in the way that I would like to, and it's so awkward. And, you know... As much as it sounds like I'm starking here, I can't say what it is exactly about this song, but it actually does kind of provoke an emotional response in me. Like, I actually did kind of, like, vibe out to this in a weird way. Where I was like, yeah, this sounds nice. I'd certainly have to say it's the best of the 4 so far. Then again, that's... Yeah. Take it with a grain of salt. My knowledge of Weezer extends to, like, 3 albums, so...
Now, there was something in this Pitchfork piece with the song that pretty much said that this track was supposed to be akin to their older days, to which I say, guys, if you want to do that, do a complete 90s throwback Blue Album style, not this shite...
I don't know, man. Like, I see it as, like, I can see it in sort of the lyrical sense that it seems more sincere instead of kind of the detached snarkiness that kind of defines them post-Pinkerton, like when they were really insecure about, like, how people responded to that album, so they were trying to be all snarky and detached to, you know, cover up from that. But, like I said, I could kind of vibe with this. Although I do agree, like, if you're going to call it throwback to the older material, they should just be writing songs that contain references to dead rock stars and music videos that reference old TV shows. And please, try the fish. Really? No one got that Buddy Holly reference? I give you gold and you give me squat. I don't even know why I do this show.
I don't know either.
But yeah, so we're kind of 2 for 4 so far on this album, it seems like. So, at least from my perspective. So, I don't know. I'll have to do a deep dive back into the Weezer albums I haven't heard just to kind of get myself in the mindset for this. And last, but certainly... Actually, no, wait. This probably is least. So, yeah. Mr. Sam Smith, who, as we all know, has been on the up and up in the pop world recently, especially getting a boost from that absolutely terrible James Bond theme. I still haven't forgiven you for that, Smith. Seriously, like, the Bond films go from Adele to this? Really?
Damn. Hey, it could be worse. It could be Madonna again.
Actually, no, I prefer that. I say this is the worst, that is the worst Bond theme since Madonna, probably even worse. But that's just me. So, Mr. Smith has announced his latest album, The Thrill of It All, due out November 3rd. Oh my god, that's the week before Taylor Swift. Why?
He's gonna flop.
We are going to be in for a 1-2 punch of terrible pop music in November. God help us all.
Oh shit, the music I listen to this. Oh no.
And so we have the first single from the album, Pray. P-R-A-Y. For some reason I typed it as R-E-Y in my notes, but you know, maybe that's because he's trying to, you know, act as a predator to the prey that is the concept of good music, because this song is just okay, so it's your typical somber, really, you know, piano pop ballad, basically just John Legend but with a different singer over it. And, you know, he's singing about, like, oh, the world is all going to shit and my life is hell. But, you know, I'll pray to something that I don't believe in upstairs because everybody prays in the end. And I'm like, fuck you.
What?
Like, I'm sorry, but I know this is kind of bringing a personal axe to grind, but hey, look, if Fantano can do it when reviewing Damn, I can do it here by saying, fuck you, Sam. Praying thoughts and prayers don't do shit for anything. And that's the thing that really pisses me off here, because the composition itself is just kind of boilerplate blandness, save for that weird punctuation of just loud gospel singers that just kind of stabs your eardrums when you're not expecting it. I hire some better songwriters and mixers in that part, but really, like, oh, just pray and everything solves itself. You make me sick.
Okay. I'll be a bit more complimentary toward this. Taking the lyrics out of the question and looking at just the music, it's kind of eh and meh, but not overtly terrible to me. Although I wonder why it started with a piano and an 808, of all things.
Because yeah. Reasons, crossover audience, something, whatever.
Yeah, and a couple parts of this kind of remind me of Alicia Keys Falling, because it has that sort of da-da-da-da-da-da kind of progression. Anyone else catch that?
I don't know, man. I never listened to Alicia Keys much.
It was on the radio all the time in, like, 2002.
Lots of things were on the radio in 2002. Sort of,
okay. Yeah, it was a great year for music.
Probably. Yeah, I'd have to go back.
Funny how you mentioned John Legend and Alicia Keys, considering the fact that, well, at least they're better singers. All I got from Sam Smith is...
Dude,
that
kind
of says it all, doesn't it?
Got a podcast to do.
Quick, crack over some ammonia smelling salts.
What the fuck?
Crack open some ammonia smelling salts. Ugh.
Dude, that shit's just gonna affect me. I can't make smells travel through the internet.
Yeah, well, wake your ass up.
Unless somebody finds a way.
So
it could happen.
Yeah, so for this song, as the kids say, Mr. Smith, this is another L for your ass. That is what the kids say, right? I'm not hip to the lingo.
Yeah.
So yeah, something about... Yeah.
Taking more L's than Meek Mill did.
Ooh, damn, son.
Saucing on him like Post Malone.
November 3rd, kids. You had a time to wait for that. Oh, boy. So, yeah, that covers the new song discussion for the week. So, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we got some news topics for you. So, stay tuned, kids. And we're back. Now, our first piece of news here is a shitty one. Just an absolutely awful, terrible bit of news. Yeah. So, if you've been paying attention to the news the past week, you've noticed there's been quite a surge of sexual assault allegations, which have resulted in, you know, proofs of wrongdoing and just people getting, you know, L's for their asses, including perhaps most prominently Harvey Weinstein, who was even, you know, forced to resign from his position at the Weinstein Company. So, you know, that happened.
And there's the guy from Screen Junkies and Honest Trailers who he's gone to.
Not to mention we also have Nelly to deal with. So this past Saturday, he was taken into custody in Washington State after a woman told the police that, well, he raped her. He was taken to jail early in the morning, and he was booked for investigation for second-degree rape, but he was released a few hours later with no charges being filed, and he keeps saying that supposedly the whole thing was just made up. Now, need we also acknowledge that there was a video from the concert of the suspected day where he was being more than a little suspicious around a young girl on stage. And you want us to believe you wouldn't or didn't do this because reasons?
Because Chris Brown. We're going to have another Chris Brown situation on our hands right here.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, people stopped giving a shit about Nelly, like, before this, so.
Yeah, pretty much, like.
Yeah.
Maybe this might actually, put a serious dent in his career, which it should. Fuck you.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really cared that much about Nelly since the whole, sweatsuit CDs, but. Yeah,
Tommy Clavick was for Georgia Line.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about them on this show. But yeah, this. Yeah, no. No.
Yeah, just fuck you, Nelly. And, if there's evidence out there. Dude, you have the fucking video there showing you being creepy towards a fan, and you expect us to believe that it's a false allegation? Boy.
Lots of L's for sexual assaulters out there. Go for the president next.
You don't fuck up, Nelly.
Yes, go for the president next. Anyway, washing that sour taste out of my mouth. So Lorde is just about getting ready to start her 2018 North America tour behind, her most recent album, Melodrama. And she's announced her touring partners, which are a rather interesting pair of compatriots. Her big co-headliner, and the crowd goes,
RTJ!
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 Yes, it appears Ms. Greenlight herself has booked Killer Mike and LP to be touring alongside her with the on the North American Dance Tour, as it's called. She's also booked along indie rock darling Mitski to go along with her. So, that's going to be a pretty big boost for her career. Now, just to kind of double check the touring schedule here. Okay, so as far as my neck of the woods, she's appearing down here April 12th, and she is taking Run the Jewels and Mitski. She happened to be appearing anywhere near you guys?
Of course not.
Go where I live at.
Dang, it doesn't even look like they're stopping anywhere in, North Carolina, period. Or, wait, is it? Nope, no North Carolina.
The closest to me is Duluth, Georgia, which, not really worth the 4.5-hour drive, honestly. I hate driving through Atlanta.
But they got broads in Atlanta. Twisted Dope Lean and the Phantom.
It's not worth sitting through 8 lanes of traffic at 8 o'clock in the morning on 7585. I did it once. I'm not doing it again.
But yeah, this is certainly an interesting tour lineup. Certainly one of those things that is going to be hype as shit. Just imagine listening to Greenlight, but right before you still have the energy from I do two things, I rap and fuck. It's going to be a fun time, kiddies. Anyway, moving on. Speaking of L's for people's asses from earlier, this hasn't been a good week for Marvel Comics. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that they wrote a comic that was a partnership with an arms manufacturer with a very suspicious recruitment tinge to it. I'll admit, when I was reading the story, the first thing that popped into my head was Yvonne et Niage. That's a Simpsons reference, kids.
Yeah. And then there was the whole, you know, retailer panel where some people started ranting about, you know, anyone who isn't white and or a man.
Yeah, and they tried to appease everyone in the crowd, and we saw how that went.
God damn it, Marvel. At least your movies are good, so, you know, but that's not really
the point here.
That's not, yeah, the point here. And that's not because of the comics division either, so, God damn it, Marvel.
And, of course, let's not Marvel. Forget, we're still a few weeks after Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. But,
Marvel.
Oh, wait, what's that? Oh, wait. It sounds like I can hear John screaming in the distance. I think he heard me. It's okay, man. I'm there with you too in spirit, but, you know, you'll see what I mean soon enough. But there is one bit of sort of okay-ish news that isn't a huge blight on their face. They announced a new comic project that's due out sometime in 2018. It's a comic with a rather familiar-sounding title called Starboy. And it just so happens to, you know, be endorsed by and stars The Weeknd.
I'm a motherfucking Starboy.
Yep. The Weeknd in a Marvel comic. Now, the big question I have here, I don't think there's been any other details released about this comic other than the cover, which looks all right, artistically speaking. Is he officially, like, in the main canonical Marvel universe, if there even still is one? I mean, I know there's been, like, a bunch of continuity shakeups recently. By the way, is Captain America still a Nazi?
Captain America is still a Nazi. Thanks, Nick Spencer.
Oh. Damn.
Oh, great.
But, yeah, does this just exist at its own story that just happens to be published by Marvel? Or are they going to find some kind of weird way to have, you know, friggin' Spider-Man bumping, I see it coming, and then he just kind of gives a glare to some kind of sidewalk, and it's like, oh, hey, you kind of look like that Weeknd guy. And he's like, yeah, looks like.
Wow. They can say... Starboy meets Star-Lord.
Hey, you know that would happen. You know he'd find a way to give him, like, a new mixtape with the hottest tracks of the 2010s. And then Star-Lord's listening to it, is like, what the fuck is this look what you made me do bullshit? Like, fuck this. I'm throwing back Uka Chaka.
He's like, who's this future person?
This is trash. But yeah, for those of you who absolutely love The Weeknd and love Marvel Comics, if you happen to be that four or five people who fit in that Venn diagram, you have something to look forward to next year. And moving on. So, Mr. Action Bronson, rapper, culinary expert, host of television shows such as Viceland's Fuck That's Delicious, is now also getting another Viceland show premiering later this month. As for the time being, it's titled The Untitled Action Bronson Show, quote, which will see Bronson cooking and hanging out with an eclectic mix of guests from the world famous to local legends, top and upcoming performers, and some of the best purveyors of delicacies from all over the globe. It premieres Monday, October 23rd at 11:30 p.m. And we can expect the first guest to be Sean Evans from Hot Ones. Or Mario Batali. Take your pick. So,
on my head, I got the flashlight.
So, a cooking show in the same vein as a talk show. Man, that's going to be tough to sit through if I'm really fucking hungry at night.
him and Bison are getting real comfy with each other these days.
Yeah, man, they're like paying half his bills at this point. But yeah, I'm just thinking, like, okay, I'll be watching this and, like, you know what, fucking, I'm heading to the pantry. I gotta make something delicious, you know. By the way, who wants to take a bet on how often he's going to say, fuck, that's delicious, in the context of the show?
At least 5 times an episode.
Yep, that is absolutely true. And, you know, this might be something I actually watch. I mean, wait, just to double check. October 23rd. So this is like a day after the premiere of The Jellies. Oh, by the way, we forgot to mention that a while back. The Jellies premiering October 22nd on Adult Swim.
I have a date.
Nice.
So, you know, if you need your quality TV from your musical personalities, you're going to have quite a bit to watch on both that general time slot and that weekend. It's gonna be a good time. But now moving on to not a good time. So the Scorpions and Megadeth, as you know, have been touring together for, you know, quite a bit. Unfortunately, the rest of their 2017 tour has to be canceled. The cited reason is severe laryngitis on the part of Scorpion singer Klaus Meine. He was told by a top throat specialist in Los Angeles to rest his voice, lest he risk permanent vocal damage. So it sounds like he's going through... No, wait, Bruce Dickinson had throat cancer, so this isn't quite throat cancer, but still very, very bad for someone whose career is made off having a functioning voice. Mm-hmm. So just as brief overview, the tour started September 14th in Reading, Pennsylvania, and the last date they played was Los Angeles at the Forum on October 7th. So the remaining dates include Phoenix, Arizona, San Antonio, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, actually this weekend, and Tampa, Florida on Sunday. So, yeah, that's about 5 dates they have to cancel for the time being.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're canceling, you know, 3 months worth of a tour. But, yeah, you gotta risk that voice. It's a very valuable part of your body. And if it goes away, you're kind of screwed. And then you get AC/DC with Angus Young. With Axl Rose. God, what is wrong with me tonight?
Besides the usual,
yeah. I'm just tired tonight. It's been a long week.
But, yeah, so... Obviously, we hope that you actually get better soon. You know, again, take care of your voice. You're a prominent rock singer, and from what I've heard, you have some really powerful pipes, so you need those in working order. So hopefully you recover soon and you get to get back on the road soon. Shit, I know a couple buddies of mine were actually really looking forward to that Scorpions Megadeth tour, so, you know, that's gonna be a friggin' bummer. And speaking of cancellations leading to bummers, so a while back we discussed, I think it was episode 40, in fact, somewhere in the 40s, we talked about the upcoming Sound on Sound Festival taking place in McDade, Texas from November 10th through the 12th. Now, we mentioned this one because it had one of the most bizarrely eclectic and weirdly awesome festival lineups I've seen anywhere, like, just counting all festivals. But, unfortunately, the festival is canceled.
Wow.
Now, the issue was, while everything was scheduled to go on hand, the organizers revealed that the biggest roadblock was that one of the financial backers, perhaps probably the biggest of them all, they haven't specified which, had to back out of, you know, financing the show. And they spent like a week or so trying to, you know, scramble something together, but ultimately it wasn't going to work out, and so they had to cancel the event. Everybody who purchased a ticket will, I believe, be granted full refunds, or they will be given first opportunity to purchase single tickets too, because they're trying to reschedule all the artists at other shows within the area. So I don't know if it's going to happen like all at once, or it's going to be like properly spread out for various reasons, but that's what's happening. So, just to give a quick reminder of the artists they were dealing with, top billed is the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, with the subsequent acts being like Grizzly Bear and Iggy Pop, The Shins, Blood Orange, and also some out like a sore thumb like Sleep, Ministry, Electric Wizard, friggin' Cannibal Corpse, Citizen, Wolves in the Throne Room, mixed in with other stuff like Blank Mass, Survive, Boris, the story so far, Converge, Ariel Pink, Dickable Planets, Taking Back Sunday, Real Estate, Washed Out, Vince Staples, Pusha T, Kalani. Yeah, there was a lot here of notes.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much everybody but Run the Jewels.
Yeah, that was weird, right? It's like, you sure you didn't make a typo on this poster here? But yeah, that fucking sucks, because this lineup actually looked, it was so out there that it was freaking killer. So the fact that you won't be able to see all of these crammed into the same weekend is kind of a bummer, but then again, do we really want another Fire Festival situation?
I was about to say that. At least they didn't have any money and decided to cut it off instead of going forward with it, even though they had nothing.
Yeah, and speaking of which, in case you want an update on that, Billy McFarland has pled not guilty to all charges, which... Good luck with that, pal.
Yeah, right, nigga.
But, see ya in prison.
Don't drop the soap.
But yeah, Sound on Sound 2017, we hardly knew ya. Maybe things will go better in 2018, but... Eh. Who knows?
At least you didn't end up at the Pride Festival. You were smart enough to cancel your shit before you end up feeding your people bum ass sandwiches.
Cheese and wheat bread and salad.
A weak ass salad at that.
But now it's time to move on to our last bit of big news for the week. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, that thing that still exists. I've actually been there once. It's kind of cool. Especially the Pink Floyd The Wall exhibition they had there. It was kind of a cool little thing. But it's about that time of the year where they unveiled their incredibly long list of 2018 nominations for induction. The actual inductees will, of course, be revealed in December. And, of course, they're accepting fan votes at the Rock Hall's website. So let's just take a quick look at all the nominated acts. Now, I'm just drawing from the Pitchfork piece here. I don't know if they've listed any more, but maybe Alex will be able to inform you since he's the one that brought this to my attention. So, the nominees, at least the ones listed here, there's Bon Jovi, Kate Bush, The Cars, Depeche Mode, Dire Straits, Eurythmics, Jay Giles Band, Judas Priest, LL Cool J. Why?
Okay, let me stop you right here. A lot of these are previous nominees who are still eligible. Like, the new nominees with their first year of eligibility are Rosetta Tharpe, Dire Straits, Moody Blues, The Eurythmics, Judas Priest, Nina Simone, and Kate Bush.
Wait. Hang on. I need to do something here. So, Cars, Dire Straits, Jay Giles, Moody Blues. Oh my god, guys. Are those motherfucking JoJo references?
Here we go.
What? I had to. They had Yes perform last year. You knew I was going to make the joke. Plus, this past weekend, they aired the first episode of the two-parter in Stardust Crusaders where they fight Hall Horse and Jay Guile. It's like, you just don't understand me at all. And just to check, have they nominated Link Ray before?
Yes, they have, apparently.
Yeah, I actually know a couple songs of his. I know one track that was sampled in a Death Grips jam, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love that Trash Grips. But yeah, of course, Rage Against the Machine are here, because reasons. Who knows how they're gonna get that to bring them together if they actually, you know, get inducted.
Yeah. How was that Problems of Rage album anyway?
You're going to hear about that on the album roundup.
Okay, then.
But yeah, those are your nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Any that we want to see actually get inducted? And wait, seriously, they haven't inducted Judas Priest yet? The fuck?
Yeah, that's something that's a bit surprising. They've been eligible for... It has to be at least 10 years.
At least. Like, dude, what the fuck, man? So you should.
This is their first year of eligibility. That's just, as Eddie Trunk would say, the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame.
Wait, how is this their first? What are the rules of eligibility anyway?
25 years since your first album.
I don't understand these rules, man.
Nobody does.
And please don't let Radiohead in, please.
No, they probably don't want to be in there anyway. So
you know, good.
Probably won't happen. I say put Kate Bush in there. She deserves it.
What else? Just to check, MC5, is that the same dude who did Kick Out the Jams, motherfucker?
Indeed-y-doo.
Just on that alone, they should get in. But yeah, I guess we'll just have to, I guess whoever's gonna vote obsessively is gonna vote obsessively. And we'll see what happens. Although, it would be hilarious if Radiohead did get not, like, inducted because their fans voted obsessively. Like, it's quoted here in the interview thing that fucking Johnny Greenwood are all just like, meh. Like, Johnny Greenwood's all meh. But Colin Greenwood's all like, eh, you know, it'd be cool. That'd be a fun backstage fight to listen to. But we'll have until December to find out, and then we'll have to wait until, I guess, April for the HBO special.
Mm-hmm.
And so that covers all the news topics, and now we have our last bit of business, which is the new album releases for Friday the 13th. Thank you, October. You give me a freebie sometimes. Starting from the top, as previously mentioned, we have the latest album from King Krewl with the Ooze, O-O-Z, no E at the end. The latest release from St. Vincent with Mass Seduction, that's all one word. The sophomore album from pop punk act Knuckle Puck with Shapeshifter. We have the newest album from Chris Jericho's Fozzy with Judas.
Bossy. That wasn't so hard, was it?
My gums are bleeding right now.
Oh, suck it up and swallow it.
Okay.
But moving on from that, we have the latest album from extreme metal act Enslaved with E. Yeah, just the letter E. We have the newest album from death metalers Exhumed with Death Revenge. The newest album from pop singer Pink with Beautiful Trauma. The official debut solo album of William Patrick Billy Corgan with Ogie Lala. A new solo release from Robert Plant, Carry Fire. We got a new project from Crazy Bone. Just Crazy Bone. E.1999, the Leather Face Project. We got the latest studio album from Goo-Wop himself with Mr. Davis. Of course, we have the latest join from the Wu-Tang Clan with The Saga Continues. So, you know, that kind of balances out the chakras of the universe or whatever. And, of course, the newest album from Beck with Colors. And now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me at Aura of Azure pretty much everywhere. Fuck you, Rob.
What do you think you are, Tyler? And Mark, what about you?
Of course, if I'm on Twitter at MattTubeHyperMedia, where, yeah, I recently did a stupid thread of one of the dumbass show. Y'all probably 90 seconds was bad. I watched the whole fucking thing.
Uh-oh.
And of course on my site, the Mind of Hyper One at MyHyperOneDoublePress.com. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of time of season anime first impression shit. So yeah.
Yeah, that's still going on, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Barracuda. Email me robert@surrealresolution.com if you got any hate mail, like I'm sure Alex clearly does. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday, approximately, on my YouTube channel. Just search Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Hit subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always immediately notified when new episodes go up there. And, of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution, which you can follow on Twitter @SurrealRezo, like us on Facebook, visit us www.surrealresolution.com and find the podcast on its subdomain decibelboost.surrealresolution.com, where you can find many more Fuck You Robs, as well as on our other great podcasts, where if you like gaming, check out Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. If you like anime, check out Podcast O&A, which will likely have a whole bunch of stuff about the, you know, anime season sometime soon. Be sure to keep up with our written articles as well. I haven't had anything written this week, but hopefully soon I can get a little thing for all y'all out there. You'll know what it is when you see it. And of course, there's the anime write-ups, which now we're doing King's Game the Animation with our boy Josh. Shout out to you, Josh. You're the Cajun broski. Jump into our Discord chat, where I am trying to shitpost more. And trust me, there are some quality shitposting. And that's basically about it for there. And of course, last but not least, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to all his shit down in the description. That'll do it for this week's episode, episode 54 of the podcast. Thank you all for listening, and until next time,
I love Beijing gentlemen. Cha-ching. Stop till I get them in their birthday suits. So give me the rhythm and it'll be off with their clothes. And then over to the front and touch your toes. I left the jack and I took the roll. They ain't cutting and I put them on foot control. How you like me now? When my pinky's valued over 300,000. Let's track you to one to please. And Chris Bill cups like double B. First let's roll and we leave some dead. You want a lady in the street, but I'm freaking a bed to say, hey.
We need Cal. Look, so we have Fantano, we have the needle drop. We need to reach the big four goals. So what we need is a vegan cooking channel, like a proper vegan cooking channel, and a cow channel. Then everything will be good.
So is it just gonna be about sick vegan smoothies with the best teeth in the game?
No, I mean like actual vegan cooking. Like no jokes, just making some. Like, not like an Action Bronson thing where there'd be jokes and shit. By the way, I saw that video he did with First We Feast where he made that cheese out our own sandwich. Oh my god. Like, dude, any of you ever actually had chicharrones?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, to explain for the percentage of whiteness that exists between the two of you, like, when you go to...
What? Hey.
I said the percentage of whiteness that exists between both of you.
So, 0 and 100?
Exactly. So, like, when you go to, like, a sort of... Let's say the restaurant down the house. God, what was the name? Palacio de los Jugos, as an example. You can order, like... They're sort of, like, basically just... They're sort of described as pork rinds in a sense. Like sometimes if you go to like a Spanish grocery store and you get the pork rinds, they're called chicharrón. But these are the ones that actually have like the pork meat in them. Because chicharrón, that's basically just like Spanish pork belly. Like, you know, you throw it in like a fryer or flat top. You know, get the meat all juicy. You crisp up the skin and then you just, it's so good.
I might think about that. Maybe put it into a brisket.
Okay.
Brisket. But dude, seriously, like, if y'all could ever come down here, first thing I'm doing is getting y'all some chicharrones.
Just keep me away from the sports coaches who do bumps of cocaine, okay?
Oh, come on, dude. That's basically just Tuesday here.
Okay, away from anywhere you see Cornet Buck or Triple Potassium on that.
Nah, that's like an hour away from here, man. You don't got to deal with that shit.
Okay, good.